Now, here's an email. It's quite a lengthy one, but I'll bring it to your attention now because I think it may ring a bell or two. Ryan, I'm a regular listener. I really enjoy the show. I'm not sure if I'm looking for help or just have my situation acknowledged, or perhaps it might help to get some pressure off my shoulders in the thought that somebody might simply read this email. I'm a separated dad of one in the second half of my 30s. I met my now ex-wife in college. She was my first serious relationship. Like every relationship, we had our ups and downs, but we seemed to muddle through somehow. I'm shy and quiet by nature, and she would have been the dominant figure in the relationship, often making important decisions that I was never consulted about. I thought this was the norm and went with whatever she wanted, more often than not to keep the peace and to avoid conflict or a tantrum. So the years passed by without me noticing certain changes in my life, such as my friends becoming fewer and my relationship with my family becoming strained. I worked hard and often spent my earnings on gifts for my partner in the hope that they might make her happy and not give out and find fault with me. And this included getting engaged. I thought that if I got her a ring, it might make her nicer towards me. And even setting a date for the wedding was a means of keeping us afloat as a couple. Part of the cloud lifted from my oblivious state of mind just after the church ceremony at our wedding, when the photographs were being taken. She was barking orders at the photographer and at the guests in order to organise who was to be in each picture. I asked if we could get a family picture with my side of the family, to which she snapped, "F you and F your family. This is my day and I'm doing it my way." I was devastated. She ignored me for about half an hour. I sat in the bathroom for what seemed like an eternity thinking, what have I done? The relationship continued in this manner, snowballing all the time. She wanted a child. Despite my reservations, I gave in, thinking that this might finally change her back to the person that I had known years previously. However, after the child arrived, I was barely given a look in. I suggested counselling, to which I was told that she had no problems, that I was the one causing any issues. So I went to counselling myself, and it helped enormously. As a last resort, I suggested a break from each other for a month or two to see if we could figure out our feelings. Surprisingly enough, she agreed. However, by dinner time that evening, she had seen a solicitor and separation procedures were in place. Since then, she has tried her best to make my life a living hell. I've lost all of my friends in our neighbourhood because of stories that she made up about me. I lost my job because of lies that she spread to members of staff and management about where I worked. And to top it all off, she got the house, the car, and every penny of savings that I had in the separation agreement. The worst part is how she has tried to ruin the relationship that I have with our child and continuously revoked access for no apparent reason. Since then, I've picked up the pieces of my life, dropped the shoulder, and pushed back against all the odds. I now know what living life is supposed to be like. I suppose the point of the email is this. Too often, people are prejudged in situations similar to my own. Often, it's the dad that loses out on seeing the child, or that is forced to give up everything in order to salvage something of a life for himself. Relationships fail. However, people are too quick to throw the first stone without even considering the consequences. Rumours hurt and can cause serious and irreparable damage to one's reputation and name. Years have passed, and as of today, I still get ignored, mocked, and shouted at. Why? Because of spiteful lies and a promise to make my life a living hell. And thank you for reading this. I'd appreciate my anonymity being respected. My name and reputation have, as you can imagine, already been damaged. Well, you thought you had troubles this Monday morning. That is a pretty horrible story, and you really picked the wrong one there, didn't you? And it's extraordinary that, you know, it took you to the day of your wedding to be sitting in the bathroom after she's treating the photographers like dirt. That you suddenly realised this isn't the woman for me. What were you thinking going up the aisle in the first place? Why did you agree to get married? What sort of pressure did you feel under? I mean, it seems all the way along you felt you wanted to be doing the right thing. But in fact, you were doing the wrong thing. And I hope you're fighting back. You need a lot of backbone, considerable amount of spine, probably a very good solicitor, and an attitude that says you can't, you're not going to take this anymore. Unfortunately, you need a network moment and fight your corner. And as I say, man up. And I hope that works. I don't mean that in a cold way. I just mean that for your own sake, I hope somebody's given you kind of a benign slap on the cheek saying, come on, get up off your, stop looking at your shoes and get up, face the day. And things improve. Others with advice, welcome as always, 51552. That's the reaction to that email. He sounds like a total doormat. What was he thinking? If he didn't know what he was getting into before he married her, then That is why the weak man got the domineering woman. Another says no one forced him to go out with her or get her pregnant. He has to take responsibility for his actions, never mind bashing women. Yeah, but that doesn't mean he didn't hit the lottery in reverse. I mean, that is a Midas in reverse story, I think. The text has a huge response to our friend who with the wife that didn't work out, shall we say. Whatever happens, do not give up on your child. Don't knock your ex to your child or any family members, says the text. Just keep strong and people will eventually see the truth and keep being a good dad. The courts are good and usually know what's best for child and the child, and they always try to keep access with your child, all that stuff. Neve says, listening to that email, I can't help feel for the man. But just because she is his ex, he shouldn't treat her any way different to anyone else. If anyone else caused him to lose his job through slander, he could sue. So get a good solicitor and go after her. He may have made a mistake, we all do, don't judge him. Yep, and that's why I was saying he should get... I actually mentioned a solicitor as well. I tend to agree with you, Niamh. Another says, tell that man to read the book No More Mr. Nice Guy. He presents the typical symptoms of the type of man that is talked about in this book. Changed many people's lives. And another finally says that woman that man married suffers with narcissistic personality disorder. They wear a mask to the world. They hide their true selves from their partners until they are married. His story is mine. More people need to be educated about this disorder. I wish to God you would do a slot. Narcissistic personality disorder. Yep, we'll certainly have a look at that. I'm going out with a guy who was married, but his wife cheated on him. And I got with them after they'd been apart for 2 years. She went nuts and followed us and calling me names, and even her mother has stared me out of it. And I wouldn't stoop to their level, but they're laughingstock and we're still together 5 years later. She's a complete psycho. God, relationships are so tangled, aren't they, and difficult. I'm really sorry for that guy that you, that email you read about. But as a divorced woman, unfortunately from my experience, it's usually the men who come out in a better situation. Compare how many separated men are out every weekend spending money while the woman is left with the kids to manage bills and food. I don't know how that guy ended up with nothing. The legal system does not allow that to happen. He needs to get a solicitor. Yeah, well, yeah, you've had an experience, and all experiences are, I think, very, very different. So I think it's very hard to put a broad sweep on how it goes for one and all. Jim's on the line. Hiya, Jim.
Hello, Ryan. How are you?
You heard me reading out that email from the fellow with the ex-wife that's causing me enormous problems.
I did indeed, yeah.
And what struck you about that?
Oh, it just kind of rang a bell with what something similar, you know?
Yeah.
So it did, yeah. And I suppose I just thought about what he was going through, and I just thought to myself, like, if he's feeling down about it, there's no point in feeling down about it, you know, because the best thing you can do is get on with life.
So you were in a relationship, it didn't end well, or sorry, is that right, it didn't end well?
Well, yeah, more or less, I suppose, yeah.
Okay, how long ago was that?
It's about 4 or 5 years ago now.
Right, and do you think, were you like this guy? This guy is coming across as quite weak. Is that, that's the word, and weak sounds very pejorative, but actually sometimes people are weak and sometimes they're strong. It could be where they're at in the world at that time. Did you feel that you were the subservient, the emasculated, the lesser half of that relationship?
Yeah, well, what I would say is similar to his circumstances. I suppose she would have been the control one, you know.
Yeah, so you were kind of following behind, as it were. But
yeah.
But what with this guy, you're saying that he should what? Should he kind of change his tune, or should he?
Well, if he's, I don't mean this in a bad way, now, but if he's wallowing in his own self pity, that's wrong. Do you know what I mean? The best thing he can do is just get up and get on with it.
Which is what you did.
You know?
You see, he seems to be in a bit of a cul-de-sac emotionally. He doesn't know what to do at this stage. He's got an ex who has no interest in him really being around and seems to be spouting out lies about him, according to his email. And he seems quite stuck, actually, quite vulnerable.
I know, but it's like... I suppose, relating back to my own situation, the way I looked at it and the way it was a friend of mine said to me at the time, he says about how my ex was doing more or less the same thing, a lot of bad-mouthing and silly things like that. And he says, what are you going to do about it? And I said, nothing. And he says, why? He said, I wouldn't let that go. I said, well, look, the best way, I said, that I look upon it is that the one that seems to be doing all the bad-mouthing is the one that has the problem.
So you were very dare I say it, philosophical about it and said, well, that's not my issue, I'm out. So that's the end of it.
You know, and I just held my head high, and she tried doing the same thing as regards friends and neighbours around the locality. She tried to put me down, but I just held my head high and I just kept going. And people, you know, people don't be long realising who is at fault. Like, and it's not about that, but I suppose it's some little way along the line that just gives you peace of mind that when you realise people do understand a bit better, do you know what I mean? And people aren't interested anyway in other people's problems generally. Like,
they're not as interested in your problems as you think they are.
They are, exactly.
Isn't that it? You think that everyone is looking watching, and talking about you.
Pointing the finger at you.
But actually, what they're doing is they're thinking about what they're going to have for dinner tonight and what's on after the news.
Yeah, and what they have to do for the kids the following morning. Precisely. And everything else.
Yeah, but when you're in the middle of all of that, you're convinced that it's everyone's having the chats about you.
It is, yeah.
Now, you've come out of it the other side in what? In good shape? Is life good?
Great. Life's brilliant.
That's really good to hear that.
Yeah, life's brilliant. I mean, I don't be working every day, but I'm working as much as I can, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just, I suppose, the economy at the minute, the way things are. But, you know, like that, everything turns around and it'll pick up too. Like, and hopefully, you know, work and stuff like that will get more plentiful. And
what about the female company front?
Yeah, I have a good share of friends, male and female, like, you know what I mean, and like that. But I, at the minute, I'm not really bothering with anyone. I'm just kind of enjoying being single. And
yeah, well, I think that's important. That's a really important thing to do as well. You know, some people are chronically monogamous.
Yeah, you need to find yourself, don't you?
Yeah,
after
I think
something like this, you need to find yourself.
Take a wander and see what happens in the world. And I hope that's what you're doing, Jim. And I hope life is good to you. And thanks for talking to us today. Hear you sounding upbeat as well, because there will be people listening thinking they're in the dark zone, thinking, I will never get out of this. This is just the pits. But actually, there is a turn in the road and you'll get there.
Oh, there is, yeah. Well, no matter how bad it seems for them and no matter how low they feel, they will come out of it, like, you know. And the best thing they can do is, look, like that man, take support from his family members, his brothers or his sisters, his mother, his father, whoever's there, and just soldier on, you know.
Yeah, soldier on.
And not to blame her, his ex, for the way she is, because, as I said to you in the text, and it is unfortunate, but it is something that does seem to be a kind of bit of a history repeating itself. It's quite possible her mother may have been the same way. It's hard to know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for his ex, the behaviour from his ex at the moment is normal to her, do you know?
Yeah, exactly. So
it's not for her to be blamed either. Like, he's just as well off getting on with it, like, and, you know, hold no ill feeling towards her, like.
If at all possible, be the bigger person, really.
Well, really, yeah, I suppose that's one way.
Yeah, and then eventually, if all things come to pass, they could become civil towards each other, which is really
exactly
the answer.
Yeah, which is the answer. So I'm sure a few years down the line they'll come civil to each other, and for the sake of the kids. And,
exactly.
You know, and that's what's most important of all. Like,
it's all about peace in the valley, Jim.
That's what it is.
That's
life
what it is.
Good, Ryan. You
all
have
right.
to live it.
Listen, look after yourself. Good to talk to you.
Thanks for talking, honey.
And you. Take care. That's some sage advice from Jim there. 51552. Ryan, the story you're talking about sounds like mine in reverse. I married a man who, just after the wedding, changed considerably, didn't want to do anything or go anywhere, couldn't handle stress, would explode with anger if the conversation turned to anything serious. I think it was his way of shutting me up. Then the verbal insults followed. I gave up after 4 years. He is now showing his true colours in abundance, hiding his bad attitude for me from the world, soaking up sympathy from wherever he can get it, meanwhile bad-mouthing me. Thank God there are counties between us. Life is hard trying to do the work of two people for your children, but I have peace. Not living with falseness, lies, selfishness, aggro and meanness. I can be as strong as I can for my children. I wish your male listener all the best. He's not a doormat. Just too trusting, too kind and too good for not so honest people to take advantage of. And there you are. So a lot of people feeling reflective about these things this morning. Other texts in on Jim, who wrote to us about his wife, the domineering wife, and everything else in between. We'll take a couple of those. I'm crying listening, says Teresa. When I heard that man, I was in the same mess. It's a very dark place to be, but tell him that there is light. And thank you for that. Another says, tell him that he's the only one who can change his life. Go to his child's events and praise them and keep a record of your connection with them to give him or her when they're old enough to understand. You may have to love from afar, but it'll be noticed by a child that might need someone to help them cope with an overbearing mother. Create a happiness of your own and try and get the world or the child into that atmosphere as much as possible. He sounds like a nice guy, and his child will have some of his traits, which is good too. And more and more and more coming in on all these different things, and we'll get to them all in due course.